How long has he lived in Greta?
I would say all total around 80 years. Because I was in Spartanburg for a couple of years before the war, and then was in the service. So I'd say maybe 79 years.
So why did you decide to move to Greta?
To begin with, I was born here.
Ah.
I was born in 1923, over on the other side of town. But no, Mama brought me here.
Just returning home.
That's right. But then after the war, that's when I met Del here. And we decided she was working at the telephone company. And I worked in Spartanburg a while and commuted, but then we moved back and I came back to Greer to work and have been here since.
Can you tell me some about your time in the service when you signed up?
I went in the service in 1940, first of 43, and I had basic training, then I went into the 9th Air Force, and the ground crew of the 9th Air Force, and then we trained up in Massachusetts and New York, and then we went to Europe in 1st of 44, and so then we went from England to France and Belgium, Germany, and then I came back home in 44, because I came back home in 45, in June of 45, and I got out. We had fighter planes.
Was it your job to drop the bomb?
No. We had, of course, half the planes only had one pilot. It was just a pilot. And they were all fighters. And our job was to keep the ammunition and stuff ready for the plane. And then we had armors that put it on the plane. But we had to keep an inventory of all that stuff and what went on, what plane, and so forth.
So when you came back, was it hard to find work?
I came back. Mom and Dad were living in Spartanburg at that time. And I came back. It wasn't too bad because there was a lot of us, of the guys coming home.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to work in a department store in Spartanburg and worked there for a year. In fact, I was living there when we married. That was in 1947. But no, it wasn't all that bad. Then I came back. When I came from Spartanburg, Greer, I came to work for Western Auto here back in 1948. So, and I've been in the parts business ever since.
What kind of work did you do at Western Auto?
Well, it was mainly clerk work. Of course, I did the book work at that job. But it was maybe sales work, stuff like that.
And when did you leave that job?
I left Western in 1960, and I went with Early Auto Supply, which is a supply outfit, a jobbing outfit. And I stayed with them until 1970. Well, I left them the latter part of 1974. And then that's when I opened my place. That was in January of 1975. And I was in that until 1988. And that's when I sold that place and more or less retired. 88.
So what was it like running a business? Yeah.
Well, it was, I enjoyed it. I can truthfully say that, of course, now all of those years from 1948 to 88 was mainly in automotive parts, because Western Auto, we sold parts, mm-hmm. along with tools and tires and batteries and all that stuff. But I enjoyed it. It was, of course, I had good hair.
What was the economy like?
Well, it wasn't all that good, but we managed to do all right.
Good business?
Yeah, we had pretty good business. Then in 1988, I sold it in May of 1988, but there was so much national outfits coming to town,
mm-hmm.
with the same type of parts we had, that it made it kind of rough, and you could feel the competition, because you had like Advance and AutoZone, people like that were nationally wide, and we managed to do good.
Do you think a lot of the small businesses in Greer felt the push?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at one time, see, we had about a half a dozen parts places and sold parts. And now, we've only got about counting the two national outfits, we've only got two locals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where a lot of it's gone, to these big outfits.
How about the other businesses, like in downtown Greer?
Well, you see, that we had a decline. Because young as you are, you probably remember seeing Greer when there wasn't a lot of businesses downtown. And that's the way. Now, you take back when I was with Western Auto back in the 40s and 50s, I'm telling you, it was booming. Saturday night, we had the streets would be lined with cars. People sitting on the side, in the cars on the side of the street. People going up and down the street. A-model Fords, they'd go down all the way to the railroad track and turn around and cluck back up the street. Oh, it was something. It was something. And that would go on until, that would go on until 11 o'clock on Saturday night.
What was the biggest attraction?
Stores would be open. See, a lot of stores would be open until, say, 9 o'clock. And the rest of the time, people were just communicating and talking. And it was a busy, busy place.
What kinds of stores were they?
Well, it was just what it is in the normal small town. You had your grocery stores. You had your hardware stores. You had the people like the Leader, which was cloth and stuff like that, clothes, and Smith and James was here at that time. And that was it. And you had your insurance offices and feed stores. just stabbed us to the time. But we had a lot of people that would come from the mountains on Saturday that would stay till Saturday night, see, and then back home they'd go. But it was, I enjoyed all of mine. I enjoyed my work with everybody that I ever worked with. We all got, I was with John McMurray, who ran Western Auto for, he opened up in 1939 in Greer. And then when the early boys came to Greer in 1954, then I went with them from Western. I went with theirs in 1960. And then that's when I left them and went on my own. Well, that was 1975. All of that, I enjoyed. It was a, you enjoyed it.
So what made you decide to start your own business?
Well, I had given some thought. And I had a friend that I used to do some business with when I was at Western Auto. It was with the Spartan Automotive chain in Spartanburg. He had gone with a bigger outfit that had stores scattered out all over the country. And he came by when I was working with Ertis. He came by and wanted to talk to me, and he told me about what he was doing now. He was a company rep, is what he was at that time. And we wanted to know if I'd be interested in going into the business. And, of course, I did. And I did. And I went into it. And like I say, I enjoyed that until 1988. When it just so happened, things seemed to turn around. I was getting to the point to where I was old enough to retire. And so then with things kind of slacking a little bit at that time, I felt like it was a good time for me to sell out. And with having in mind that I was old enough to retire, so I did, and that's what I've done mainly since then. I did do a little part-time work, but I've enjoyed these 18 years. And then Bella, she retired the year after I sold my place. I retired in 88 and she retired in 89. So that's the way it's been.
We all had a lot of good times together.
See, Reg came along, our son came along in 49, and then Kim, our daughter, she came along in 53. And then Reg has two children, and both of those two children have two children. And then Kim, she married a man that had two children. And then that's where the other five grandchildren, which gives us nine great-grandchildren. That's where they come in. But we've had a good life. We've enjoyed it. And like I say, I had some good help when I was working at the store. Who was your mother, of course. But that, we had a good time.
I would love to hear more from you about how y'all met and the relationship which ensued.
Well, when I came back from service, of course, I didn't know a lot of people in Spartanburg because I was only over there a year or so. Dad moved in, he moved over in 40, and I finished high school in Greer in 40 and stayed up here for the last 6 months of my school year. And so I didn't really know a lot of people in Spartanburg, and still knew a lot of people here in Greer. So I came back to Greer and on occasions, and I'd run into people downtown that I knew, and there was one boy that used to live next door to us here in town that worked with Della in Bell's College, and that's why I met her. He introduced me to her, and so that was in 45, and then we married in 47, and like I said, we just happened to run into each other.
That's made in heaven.
So. Yeah.
And y'all went to movies?
We didn't do a whole lot of, we might see a movie occasionally, or a ball game, or something like that. Of course, like I say, you go to a movie for a dime, but I know the Grand Theater was beside Western Auto here in town, and golly, you'd go in there and see 2 hours for a dime. So, but there wasn't a lot of money. I mean, you didn't have a lot of money back then. Because Mr. Roy Collins, he didn't pay her much. And for today, the average person would probably carry $300-$400 home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, golly. If you made $100, you were doing well back in those days. So,
what were the wages like per hour?
Oh, it was, like I say, if you made $100 a week, you were doing real good.
Oh, wow.
So, but everything was just cheaper, like to build a house or to buy groceries. When you go to the grocery store for $5, I mean, you can get bags and bags and bags of groceries.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, a loaf of bread. They had nickel loaves. Nickel loaves of bread. Things weren't there just wasn't a lot of. And suits. I remember my father bought my younger brother and I suits down in Mr. Collins. And we had a little suit that had a knickers and a pair of long pants and a coat. 3-piece suit. Or 3 pieces. And would be less than $5.
Oh, wow.
So, clothing was cheaper. Well, everything, because there just wasn't any money. But we got by.
Where about did y'all, you lived on Poinsett, did you say?
When we first got married, actually, we stayed, a week down on Trade Street at a fellow's home. They just rented us a room, and she was working at the telephone office. And I was still in Spartanburg. I was working over there. And so then we moved from there up on Poinsett Street to a two-room apartment upstairs in one of the old homes. It's not even here now. They tore it down and made an apartment out of it. But we stayed there until, Reg was born in 49. Then we moved out on Fairview Avenue. And then we we built here in 1953.
Oh, wow.
We've been here since we moved here in April of 1953, and Kim was born in June of 1953.
Oh, wow. I bet that was exciting for you.
Yeah, see, her mother lived in that little house behind us there. So that's one reason we built here. Was, you know, on account of her being close.
So did y'all built it yourselves?
Yeah, well, we had it built, yeah.
Had it built?
Yeah. No, we got a lot of fun.
Had a built-in babysitter.
Well, yeah. Because I remember we used to, when we lived on Poinsett Street, we didn't have a car. And we'd, at the church, because we were going to First Baptist, and at the church we'd come, put Reg in the stroller, and we'd roll all the way down to Mama's house up there for Sunday dinner. But see, back before her daddy built that house, had that built out there. See, this was nothing but a bare hill. They had back. You may remember this. There was a whole house that sat behind her house, right back in behind there. Do you remember? I doubt that you do.
I can't say.
Well, you might, because the lady bought, after Mama died, one guy bought it. He sold it to another lady, and her son and wife, they lived in it. And while they were in it, that old house, what we call a little house, was the kind of, it wasn't used. We didn't use it for anything. Except in, well, maybe when Della's sister would come down, they had two or three kids, and they, a lot of times, would stay out there in the little house. But it was getting run down, and that man that owned it last tore the house down. Mm-hmm. This lady right across the street used to live in that house. Back then.
Oh.
But then, what I was going to tell you, see, there wasn't anything. That little house was sitting up on the... And back in those days, we only had two lanes of highway, see. And it was a long way from the highway to the little house back in them times. And I remember one time I got caught by the police. There's three of us guys coming down Poinsett. Well, we come down Poinsett. We was into a ball game, and we were singing, having a good time. And we come down and turn, come down this way, and the police caught us right there, right in front of my house. Where are you boys going? When Truman Henderson used to have a drive-in right down here, and we was going down there to get a sandwich. And they stopped us. We told him we was going down. Well, you're in a hurry, weren't you? Because he had saw us when we come down Poinsett and followed us all. The boy that was driving the car, they carried him down to jail.
Oh, no.
And I had to go down and borrow money from my sister to get him out of jail.
Who was driving?
No, I wasn't driving. George, she was driving. But we had a good time. See, this whole, there wasn't any none of these houses is here. That duplex wasn't there. That house wasn't there. It was just the only house that was here was Chief Finley. He lived in a brick house where the gas station is. That was the only house here. This whole thing was bare. All these houses wasn't anything back here. Just nothing. But it's so we moved, like I said, in 53, and there's one or two of these houses were built just a year or two before we built ours.
Chief Finley, he was the police chief?
He was the chief of police. And you see, his wife was a rogue. And if you never paid attention to this little street behind us back here, is Rose Street. And then if you go around, it's a dead end down there, and you come back in, that's Finley.
Oh.
See, Chief Finley, and then his wife was a rogue. And her son built the house back down here on this street. And then that brick house that's over here, her other son built it over there, that brick house. And then her other son, he went to the mountains. He went up to Highland, and he built, he married a girl from Greenville that had they had a big old farmhouse at Highland. But that's all come about. As a matter of fact, these houses were built after we built. That's interesting.
So it just kind of grew up all at once.
Well, since the 50s. Yeah. Yeah, Chief Tapp. You've heard of him. Probably. Yeah, Chief Tapp used to live over there. You know where you're going down Appalach Road and you make a little turn, you know, this way and back and go down to the creek. You know, Chief Tapp lived there right on the curve. Chief Tapp, that was that was before Chief Finley. And then before him was Dave Moore. He was the chief of police. And then along come your uncle. That come along a long time after that. See, her uncle, Dudley's brother, he was chief of police here. Remember? There was three of us boys in service. One of the guys, my oldest brother, he was in the home, what they call the home guard. That was kind of like the National Guard. Mm-hmm. After the National Guard went into Army service, active service, then they made this home guard, which is made up of older people that were maybe just outside of the draft age or had families, you know, that they didn't. And he was in that, my older brother. But then there's my next brother, he was with the National Guard. Then my younger brother, he went in the Navy. And I was in the Air Force, in the Home Guard. They used to have weekend retreats with the Home Guard up at the Boy Scout camp.
Now, did the Home Guard, did it only exist during the
war? It was just local. Yeah, they did. They never did go into active duty. It was just local. They would have had they had to defend or something or another. They would be the ones to do it. But you know, back when the National Guard went into active service, they didn't even have rifles. They practiced with broom handles and things like that. I mean, we weren't expecting all of that. And you probably never heard this either. But I wasn't in the National Guard. Now, her brother was, he was in the National Guard with my brother. But it was 178 field artillery from Greer. Well, they went to Fort Bragg, and I believe they went to Florida. Not sure. But anyway, they went to England and then went from there around to North Africa. And then from there they went across to Sicily and ended up through the boots, you know, in Italy, mm-hmm. up through that way, and then they came home from there. But out of all of the guys that left Greer with 178 field artillery, every one of them came back. Now, they lost a bunch of people, but what they'd have, people that come in from in the 178 that came out of Tennessee, Ohio, places like that, there was replacements. But out of the original 178, they didn't lose a man. But the 178 used to have reunions. And I think the last get-together they had, there was only 10 left. Because, see, those people were, well, Woody, my brother, he was, I guess, 8 years older than me. So that would make probably the average guy now 90 or more. So they've just been dropping by. In fact, we got one guy in my Sunday school class now that was with the 178. And I think he's 88. I think he told me that not long ago. 88. He was maybe a little younger than Woody. And Frank, he died at 83. And he's been dead now, what, 2-3 years? Well, he'd be in his late 80s. There's not many of them guys left. It was just unusual. Because they were in artillery, field artillery. They had it pretty rough. And see, most all of those were in the Greer, Lyman, Duncan area. You know, they all ran out of some gear. So we were lucky to had them all come back. I know our coach, who was our football coach when I was in high school, he was in the National Guard, but he came back, and in fact I was in the Lions Club with him for several years. He died 2 or 3, 3 or 4 years ago. But there's a lot of our Marion Lampert, who used to run Lampert's insurance company. He was, I believe he was company commander for the National Guard. He came back. A lot of them that I knew real well, a lot of them that was even in school with me, went into college when they were real young, 17, 16. Well, we got out in 40. See, well, so they had a chance to get in between. And I think they went in the regular army in 41, right after Pearl Harbor. See, that's what kicked it all off.
They were all volunteers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was an active guard for volunteers. Yeah, they were all in